Good morning, family. Such a joy, such a blessing to be among God's saints this morning. And maybe, if you're like me, you don't take this for granted. Many of us know folks, maybe be loved ones or family members or friends that are no longer among the living. And I was thinking about that this morning, and a lot of things, even my lesson throughout the week is going to kind of tie into this, about how important we are to one another. You know, when you think about what God has designed in this church, and this is a continuation of my lesson from last week, but that was, I was thinking about what to add to it this week. There's something that stuck out with me. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. If you're visiting with us, excuse me, please know you're honored guests. We're just so glad to have you here with us. And our job is to give you a Bible answer for a Bible question. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to pick up at verse number 41. And then I'm going to go on over into 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And it reads as such. Then they that were gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And notice what it says in verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now turn over with me to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse number 5 and read down through verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And it reads as such. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Subject title: the importance of fellowship. The importance of fellowship. Now, this word oftentimes has many different variations or definitions. Some believe that fellowship is just knowing someone, knowing of them, maybe having something in common with them, but it goes a lot deeper than that. When you look at the Lord's church, what is the purpose of the church? Definitely to seek and to save the lost, but is it the only reason the church exists? Why does God's church exist on earth? You ever thought about that? You know, we think about it. Why does God not just, when we obey the gospel, just send us straight to heaven? Why do you think that is? You ever thought about it? Some people say to make it easier for us, right? Well, I wish the day I got up out of that water, I went straight to glory. But God knows something about humans. He created us. He created us to be social beings. He created us to be connected to one another because we're made in the very image of him. A major reason that the church exists is to help people overcome sin and to learn to love God and each other. Notice I said learn God and each other, because if you don't love God, it's going to be hard to love each other the way we should. If you don't really realize, and I tell folks this all the time, the more you understand the love of God, the more you're able to love your spouse, your children, your friends, and your enemies. The importance of fellowship. Fellowship and the cross. because they are connected so deep. The death of Christ was more than what we think it was. Christ's death allowed for the body, the church of Christ, to exist. The Lord's church is the only institution that exists mainly for the soul's benefit. Now, last week I covered the word ecclesia. I talked about it in detail. I talked about it means called out of the world, but it means something else as well. It means also called together. The word church means that we're called out of the world of darkness, we're translated into the kingdom of his dear son, but we're also called together in one body, with one love, one faith, one baptism, one care for all. Sin always blocks man's pathway with God and others. Now I want you to think about that in that three-letter word I just said, because oftentimes sin is what disrupts fellowship. Now when you think about sin, you may say, well, these sins are my private ones and I'm dealing with it. But ironically, the more we sin, the further we get away from God and one another. Notice what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Excuse me, John chapter 1. Gospel of John, I'm sorry. The Gospel of John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Many of us can quote it, but I want to read it and make sure it's still in y'all Bibles too. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was the beginning of God. All things were made by him, and without him was not things made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14 says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh so that it could have fellowship with us. And because the Word became flesh so that we could have fellowship with God, we ought to want to strive to always increase our fellowship with one another. Since God is love, Jesus Christ teaches us how to love God and to love each other. It's a main issue in our world today. Think about this in our world today. Think about the wars and our current situation in the world. Somebody's not loving each other the way they should. When innocent lives are taken by means of things like abortion, by means of things like killing one another, taking innocent lives, by means of you cutting me off in traffic and I pull out a gun, chase you down my car, and pull out a gun and shoot you. No respect for life, no care of life. Think about the world we live in. It's in need of an example of love and fellowship. We are tasked with setting the example of how to love one another in the Lord's church. We are tasked with being able to love each other in a way that God has loved us. Love in the world is also immature because perfect love casts out fear. Fear and ignorance are wreaking havoc in our world today. I want you to think about those two things. Fear and ignorance. That's the cause of so many evils in our society. Fear and ignorance. Christ in love. Turn with me to Colossians. I'm going to use our Bible a lot this morning. Hope y'all don't mind. Colossians chapter 3. Once we get through this point, I'm going to talk about the seven facets of Christian fellowship. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 14 through 17. Colossians 3, 14 through 17, and it reads as such. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, many times we quote Colossians 3:16, right, in our defense of not having instruments in music, but I want us to look at some other points that we need to pull off here. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 14 says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We do all things, even love and fellowship, to bring glory to Christ. And I say that to say this, it's not about you anymore. Oftentimes, life causes us to go into our own shell, to believe it's just us, to be consumed with our own problems. But God made something special when he commanded true fellowship in the church. Love and fellowship. Life in the church, is lived by the authority of the word of God. This makes it necessary for brethren to be obedient to the word. The goals of every Christian should be this: love God and each other. The result of that is joy and peace. The instrument is the word of God. Christ in fellowship. Love and fellowship are promoted in worshiping in spirit and in truth. The maturing of saints is accomplished through the word of God and fellowship with other saints. You know, we read in Acts chapter 2 where it says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. For us to really be the Christians and the spiritual beings God wants us to be, it takes both the word and fellowship. And fellowship takes place other times other than when we gather on Sundays and Wednesdays. They did it daily. Now you may say, well, my schedule's so busy, I don't have time to do these things, I'm so consumed in my life, but I think we're missing the point. Everybody has responsibilities. But don't be surprised how sometime a call or text can make the difference in somebody's day. And I'm guilty of this as well. You know, I look back over my week, and I have a little, to help me at least keep myself halfway organized, I use a Christian organizer. And in that, it has tasks to do every week, but it has in there, and my version of this organizer, thing has, it has a place in there where you have spiritual goals and personal goals. I always try to put in my spiritual goals to at least do my best to contact two people, members, and one member and non-member every day. And not to shove the Bible down their throat, just to let them know that I care about them and love them. You'd be surprised at what that does, not only for that person, but for you as well. See, when we understand that fellowship is a part of us being Christians, then, you know, we get out of our comfort zones a little bit. Fellowship is important. Members are responsible to fellowship with one another to promote love and good works. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. When we talk about why God says we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because it's not about us. How can you provoke love and good works in me if I don't see or hear from you? Think about that for a moment. God designed it and said this: we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because it's truly not about you. It's not about me. It's about God and having fellowship with one another. He built it into his plan for us to make it to heaven. And we can't get along down here. How in the world do you think you're going to get along with your mansion beside somebody you couldn't talk to down here? How do you think that's going to work? Because you're going to heaven or hell, one of the places who you really are. If you can't learn to get along with people down here, it's going to be awfully hard to go to heaven and live there forever next to a neighbor that you can't stand. Now, I'm saying this in ways that we can understand it, but think about that for a moment. Many of us have had people like that, and sometimes, based on who you live around, makes all the difference in the world. Good neighbors and bad neighbors can either make your stay there pleasant or make it miserable. Think about that for a moment. But think about that in terms, as many times as our little mind can kind of multiply, of how important it is for us to have true fellowship in the Lord's church. So at this point in time, I'm going to go over the seven facets I've come up with for Christian fellowship. Point number one, or facet number one, is engagement. The relationship in the church should run much deeper than worldly relationships. God designed his church that way. Fellowship engages us at the soul level. Understand this. We are connected on a soul, a spiritual level, if we're doing it right and if we understand. It's not just about gathering here. We are connected on a spiritual level. We're involved in the betterment of somebody's goal to be more like Christ. We're involved in lifting up souls with heavy hearts and downtrodden souls. We're involved in encouraging those who are running the Christian race well to keep going. Keep your head up. When tragedy happens, we're responsible for lifting one another above whatever that thing they're struggling with is in their life. Think about that for a moment. We are to be engaged. When you think about engaged, I think about engaging a gear, taking it out of park and putting it in drive. They call it disengaging. But you actually disengage it from park and put it in drive. There has to be some movement. Fellowship, again, is truly should be about the well-being of the souls of members. Missing assemblies together stunts our development of love for one another. We are to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Point number two, edification. Jude 20 says, refers to the fact that fellowship should also allow us to build ourselves up in the faith. The word of God and fellowship are how we are to fortify and settle our faith. Fellowship helps us to better understand God's word and to control unchristian-like behaviors. Edification, which means building or lifting somebody up, yourself up and somebody else, is the key to living effectively and loving successfully. The world beats up on us enough. Y'all understand that, right? You understand if you're following Christ, the world, you fit like a square peg in a round hole. That's just the way it works. When you decide to become, as 1 Peter tells us, a peculiar people, you're not supposed to fit in like the world does. But there is a place that you fit in. And that is a fellowship of the Lord's church. There is a place based on your strengths, weaknesses, your personalities, that you have a place in God's love feast, the Lord's church. That's why here is such a beautiful thing. And as I think about where we are today, we think about generation. We got young to old. We got different races, nationalities, ethnicities, but guess what? That don't matter. What matters is that's my brother or sister in Christ. That's the way it always should have been and still should be today. That's beautiful, family. Don't take that for granted. So it's there for that. Point number three, exhortation. Obedience to the gospel also is also an oath to provide mutual love and care for one another. As I said before, it's truly not about us. Hebrews 3:13 says this, we are to become involved in the lives of others when we see spiritual danger or concern. Failure to get involved is, in fact, failure to love. That's the kind of fellowship we need. When you see somebody going astray and you don't say anything to them, that's an act that you show that you don't love them. You don't love them. You can't. You see that wayward soul straying away? You see them falling by the wayside and you don't even have a desire to reach out to them? To wonder where they are? To check to see if they're okay? To check to see whether they're even dead or living? That's why fellowship is so important. But we must be approachable if Christians care enough to do this. Fellowship is a two-way street, which means this. If my son-in-law, slash son Brandon, comes to me and says, well, Dad, you know, you shouldn't have done that. It's kind of what you're doing, doesn't line up with God's word. I don't need to have the attitude where he can't tell me nothing. Who is he? You know, who is he to, no, sir, no, ma'am. I've learned throughout the years, and I've just learned in my own way, those folks who dare to tell you the truth even though you can get mad, consider yourself blessed. Consider yourself, but if you got somebody in your life who says, Curtis, I know you're going to be mad, but this is what I see, and this is what I think you need to do based on my love for you. You know what? I get over my feelings real quick. I get out my feelings real quick, and I learn to appreciate the fact that they love me enough to know that whatever came out their mind wasn't going to set right. I might get mad. I might have an attitude, but they love me enough to tell me, to exhort me along the way. Point number four, envisioning. Fellowship has to develop a new spiritual self-esteem to challenge their growth. Judges 6:12, the angel said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. We are to lift others past their own limited expectations. In other words, we're to help each other grow, to get out of our comfort zones, to really strive to be more like Christ by loving them, by admonishing them, by exhorting them, by allowing them to spread their wings. We've been sitting in comfort zones for way too long, and the work of the Lord is not being done. We're afraid. But don't you love those folks who challenged you enough in your life to get you out your comfort zone, and then you find out you were okay? If not, learn to love them. Folks who won't let you be comfortable in your situation because they see better in you, they know you can do better, they love you enough to make you uncomfortable. But that's what growth oftentimes happens, in a feel of being uncomfortable, in a feel of not knowing, in a feel of even doubting the fact that you can do it, but you have those folks encouraging you along. We have the responsibility to one another. Why don't we go to each other and saying, you know what, I see greatness in you. Why don't you try this? You're great at this. I don't want you. Can't force anybody to do it. But oftentimes the fact that you think about somebody in that way be enough encouragement for them to start down that path. We're to do that to one another. That's part of fellowship. We're to lift others past our own and limited expectations. We need to learn to see the good in everybody and promote it. This helps us grow. Because guess what? Everybody got a little bit of good and everybody got a little bit of bad. Somebody once told me in the world of business and even dealing with people, you know, before you give somebody something bad, find three good things about them and say those first. That's not trying to sugarcoat it. But when somebody says that, when somebody comes to me, I don't feel like I'm the worst person in the world. I'm all bad. If you can do that and use that in your relationships with one another, whether it be a marriage relationship, whatever, it's one of the good things about it. You know, sometimes in those intimate relationships we have in our life, they become enemy number one. And truly, it really ain't that bad, except the way we see it at that moment. That person that you love and betroth your love to the rest of your life, you did it for a reason. For sickness and in health, good, bad, and indifference, for better or worse. But when you look at those things, you'll understand, first of all, I'm not perfect. I got some issues to work on myself. But also, that person that I want to see, don't want to see, and can't stand the moment, there's three good things I can find about them that I fell in love with in the first place. It ain't all bad. When somebody in the Lord's church crosses your path, before you give them a piece of your mind, try that strategy. It works different. Well, you know what? They stepped on my shoe the other day, but last week I ran out of gas. They brought me some gas for my car. 2 days ago, they called me just to let me think about me. So why am I going to get bent out of shape myself if somebody stepped on my shoe? It puts things in perspective. We don't oftentimes do that. Leading to my next point, point number five, encouragement. Fellowship provides others with confidence and emotional energy to keep serving God no matter what. When we come together, it's like, I like to say, using athletic terms, it's like a huddle. Being as involved in football as I have been and still am, the huddle is important. You know, you don't think about it sometimes, but you know, whether you're getting the ball run down your throat or whether they run the ball down your throat, sometimes you need to put your head together and come up with a different strategy. Sometimes you need to tell folks when it's fourth and one and the offense is trying to go in the end zone, somebody's lifting up and say they ain't getting in. Somebody dig in the heels and say, no, we ain't going nowhere. We're not losing this game. And you are part of it. That's what it's about. Fellowship is the number one way to defeat discouragement and doubt in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, we are to comfort one another when they fall short. Provide encouragement when brethren feel like giving up. Sustaining effort and faithfulness requires self and brethren to encourage us along the way. Now, I understand this. You've got to be able to strengthen yourself. It talks about in 1 Samuel chapter 30 when David learned to strengthen himself in the Lord, but there's also strength in numbers. We're going through tough times in life. you and I can mean the world of a difference. Sometimes the reality is you can't change that situation. You can't make it better. And sometimes there are no words that will help. But just being there makes all the difference in the world. Sometimes you just need somebody just to sit there with you and beside you. And just that comfort, that closeness will let you know that this too shall pass, that I can make it through it. So don't always feel like, I don't know what to say. Just be there. Decide to show up and be there. It makes all the difference in the world. Brings lesson for learning. I got two more points to cover. Next one is embracing. Bearing burdens is the business of the church. Now, I didn't say all of them. But the church is a burden-bearing institution. It is impossible to embrace the pain and problems of life, problems of others, or remaining emotionally and physically distant and cold. Not my problem. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It is. A little bit of it is. Now, you didn't cause it, but maybe you're the person to help make them through it. You know, oftentimes, we treat people like that, don't we? That ain't my problem. They made that mess for themselves. And don't you think they know that? Don't you think they understand how they got in that situation? Don't you think they beat themselves up and the world's beating them up enough? They don't need one person, one person on that bandwagon. They need somebody saying, suck it up, buttercup. Get up, dust yourself off, and keep going. Yeah, you know what? They said it. You're right. I need to keep going. And sometimes, you know, we need to be blunt with people. You know, sometimes we sugarcoat stuff too much. Sometimes, like I said, we need to be told to suck it up and keep moving. I know in my life, that's helped me tremendously. I know one of the worst things and one of the best things that happened to me using my football career, I was in college. And I had this coach, I didn't even think he even knew I existed. And I was at the point where I was maybe a sophomore in college, and the person that was starting in front of me was a senior, and I was better than him, but I was just coaching. I said, I got two more years. I'm just going to let him go and see what he can achieve. I had a coach pull me out to the meeting, and he called me everything but a child of God. He says, not only are you making yourself a worse player, you're also making him a worse player because you're not even pushing him. I said, you know what? After I got in my feelings and wanted to choke the life out of him, I said, you know what? You're right. It's doing me no good to sit back on my heels and coast when I'm not making myself the best version, and by doing so, I'm also pushing him to be better. Now, I went back before I graduated and thanked him for it. He didn't even realize he had said, I guess he forgot about it. He had done it so many times. I don't know. But I said, thank you, Coach, for what you did for me 2 years ago. It made me a better person. Now, I was in my feelings. I'm high in the world. I'm doing this and that. But no, he saw something different in me. He saw greatness in me. We see greatness in one another in terms of being more like Christ. So we see that. Christ is full of smiling, well-dressed. And this is the sad part about it. Christ, the church is full of smiling, well-dressed brethren who pretend to have fellowship with God with one another. Let's go on the surface. Real growth and fellowship occurs when we truly learn to care and love one another. And loving one another means you love them because of who you are, not because of who they are. Because we struggle with that sometimes. Well, you know, I can't love that person. Look at how they live in their life. Look at who they are. Well, first of all, that shouldn't be the reason why you love them in the first place. You should love them because God loves you and because of who you are. You got to learn to love them no matter what. They may never love you. They may never appreciate you. But be careful because it might cause you gate trouble because you didn't love the way God commanded you to love one another. That's how serious it is. Christ's compassion first led him to earth and then to Calvary. It wasn't like Jesus was sitting at the right hand of God, had nothing else to do. When you think about what brought him down to this earth to be treated worse than anybody else, the only conclusion I come at was love. When he was able to say, dying on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that was love. When he got up early on the first day of the week, out of the grave so that we'll have a chance to spend eternity with him, that was love. That wasn't like to get folks back. That wasn't like to strike people down. That wasn't to lick his tongue out those folks who said he wouldn't live. He did it because of love. Without love, we're nothing. He chose to be touched in all points like us. What about us? He bore the cross not only to save us, but also to show us the burden-bearing nature of God's love. The church, his body, should be doing the same work. When Christians do not forbear, forgive, and foster love, they deny Christ and break his supreme law. Let me say it again. When Christians do not forbear, forgive, and foster love, we're messing up. The last point I'm going to cover is extending. Ephesians 4, 14, and 16 talks about this. Love causes members of the body to stretch to fulfill their responsibilities to one another. One of the things that we have great going on for us here is we're part of the eldership selection process. Those who desire to do it to meet those qualifications, they're going to be stretched. It's going to be new for them. You're going to have to give them some time to get into that role and figure some things out, church, family. They're going to make some mistakes. They're human, but you still support them for the work's sake. And as they grow into this new role, we decide to grow with them and become better because they've decided to lead God's church in this particular form of fashion. A great Christian life is a sacrificial life that seeks to serve others. True love is seldom convenient love, but it's unconditional and sacrificial. If your love is a love of convenience, then that's not the love that God showered on us. If it's only convenient, if you love folks when they're acting right and saying the right stuff, that's not the love that God showed toward us. Because it said while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Died for us. Can you imagine that? Not that I was getting it right. At the point he died for me, I wasn't even thinking about getting it right. Matter of fact, I was enemies of the cross because of sin in my life I was living. We sometimes forget that. So in conclusion, fellowship in most churches is flawed and immature. Many still have a misunderstanding of the word church as well. See, it's not a building. It's not a club. It's not a social agency. And it's also not a loan company. It is people who passionately love God, which leads them to love one another. Jesus prayed for a called out people who would demonstrate his love and how we love and treat one another. Matter of fact, that's one of the signs to show that we're his, about how we love one another. So if there's love and disagreement and fighting and murmuring and complaining and backbiting, we can't be his, family. We can't be. The more we learn to love, the less we are affected by sin. Fellowship. Those saints, when the church began, it said two things. They considered steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That should be the goal of his body today. We can always increase our fellowship. We can always do more for one another. And that should be our goal. And in doing so, we don't do it so we can get another notch in our belt. We don't do it so we can make sure our crown shine a little brighter. We do it because God loved us. We do it because that is only our reasonable service to one another. How in the world can I cannot say I'm not going to put up with you and God puts up with me every day? How is that supposed to happen? How in the world can I not put up with somebody else's faults and sins and God put up with my sins every day? Multiple times a day on top of that. How in the world can I say somebody else don't deserve Jesus but I don't deserve it myself? We got a task before us. And we're off to a great start, but my job and our job is to challenge us to be even more. One of the blessings about what we do every first Sunday of the month is to provide an environment so that we can increase our fellowship to one another. Church, this is just the beginning. I'm just bringing us along slowly for some plans I got with it, but it's great. It's great to know people outside of the well-dressed stuff. You know, I had a chance to go fishing with some of my brethren. And I can say this time, I didn't steal none of Grady's fish. Didn't do that, Grady. And Veronica and James, they wore us all out. They was over there deadlining, wearing us out. But we had fun. We fellowshiped together. Man, we laughed and cut up. The weather was great. Find ways to do that with one another. Decided to do that because it was great. And not just that, all the opportunities we had to fellowship. This is one of the things we come together. If you don't leave here lifted up, there's a problem. And sometimes the lesson to be right on your big toe coin, on the corner of your big toe. But understand this, Brother Curtis didn't love, because guess what, he got his coin first. But we love one another. And by doing so, we show the world of his. By doing so, We draw others. We live in a world not as void of the love that we see in the Bible. We're talking about changing the world. We're talking about learning to love. If we don't change our households, our communities, our families, and show the love we should have, then that's a problem. I can't love somebody in the street and hate somebody in my own household. I can't say I love you, never knew you, and not love me. How can I say I love God if I see my brother in need and shut up my bowels of mercy? That's what your Bible and my Bible says. And don't care about them and say that's their problem and issue. I'm not saying we do it all because they got responsibility themselves. I'm not saying we enable people. But I understand this, our heart should be with them at least. Let us strive to be better and better and increase our fellowship so that our love will abound towards one another. What must we do to be saved? Let's hear the gospel. Believe what we have heard. Repent of our sins. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of our sins. Placed in Christ Jesus. Makes us new creatures. From time to time, we fall short. We don't measure up. We miss the mark. Sometimes, because of things we're dealing with, sin, our own issues, it kind of disrupts our fellowship with one another. But one of the things I found out that really helps me is when I'm going through stuff, the last thing I need to do is isolate myself. I need to be around my brethren who are going to put a smile on my face, who are going to let me know it's all right, going to find three good things about me before they tell me what I did wrong. We need that from one another. That encourages us to go on, to keep going, that you can make it. To dust yourself off, as I say, suck it up, buttercup, and let's get to heaven together. That's what it's about, family. That's why it's so important. That's why it's the most important thing we can do. This is a heaven-bound institution. It's going to live beyond this world. Let us not put anything else before it, because this is what matters the most. The only matter in turn. Yeah, one desire to put on Christ and baptism, request special prayer, as you please come forward. As a single verse or two of.